RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Tax law to be revised after tax amnesty law approval. Fuel supply safe ahead of Idul Fitri holiday. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government is planning to revise a number of laws related to taxation after the approval of tax amnesty law. President Joko Widodo remarked that the tax amnesty would be followed with a complete revision on the law of general provision tax, the value added tax, as well as income tax. Head of Fiscal Policy Agency of Indonesian Finance Minister Suhasil Nazara said on Sunday in Jakarta that the draft on related tax laws has been officially proposed to the parliament and the discussion had been started. Previously, President Joko Widodo said that law on taxes should be revised to increase Indonesian attraction and competitiveness, so other countries have conducted earlier. During an inspection of fuel supply at Jakarta Crude Fuel Terminal North Jakarta on Sunday, the Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said has assured that fuel supply is set ahead of Idul Fitri holiday. He said that based on data collected during the peak of the homecoming season, the demand for fuel will rise 50%. However, Minister Sudirman said that the task forces for fuel supply must be alert, including on D-Day or Idul Fitri Day. Meanwhile, Marketing Director of State-owned oil company PT Pertamina, Ahmad Bamban, expressed that fuel supply is still safe so far, with an average over 20 days fuel supply. An orangutan rehabilitation center in Ketapang, West Kalimantan, released three orangutans into their natural habitat at the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park, which is part of the Heart of Borneo, a conservation area located on the border of West and Central Kalimantan. Program Director of the Rehabilitation Center, Carmela Liano Sanchez, said recently that after releasing a monitoring team supported by local people from villages near the national park will still follow the orangutans using a radio tracking facility for 1 or 2 years. They will record the orangutans' activities and behavior, making sure that they can survive. Indonesian Toll Road Regulator, or BPJT, released the beta version of an Android application called Tolkita, which can monitor toll road condition in real time. Using global position system GPS, users can use the application to find out where the toll gates are located, view CCTV streaming of some toll road sections, find rest area facilities, and report traffic accidents. Head of the Toll Road Regulator, Harry Trisaputra Zuna, said that the application was introduced ahead of the massive exodus of people leaving for their hometown before Idul Fitri, which falls on July 6 and 7 this year. And Google Play users applauded the government's attempt to go digital. However, there are also some disappointed users who found the application less useful than more established similar applications like the Google Maps. The last item, Jakarta administration is considering charging newcomers to the capital a security deposit, as was once made compulsory by Ali Sadikin, Jakarta legendary governor in the 1970s. Deputy Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat said recently that if the newcomers fail to get jobs or fall into crime, they will be sent back to their hometown using money from the deposit. Jakarta's population is already overflowing, and new residents will file on the burden of the administration. According to government's plan, the newcomers to the city will be allowed to stay initially for 6 months. If they can find jobs within that time, their status can be re-evaluated. However, Jarod said that the administration still has to redefine the policy first, including by developing an accurate database system. The City Hall is considering expanding the Jakarta Smart City application to build database. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitling The Meaning of Mudik Ahead of Lebaran. In a few days to come, Muslims worldwide will celebrate Idul Fitri, which marks the end of fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. Muslims around the world welcome joyfully the Idul Fitri day, which is in Indonesia is known as Lebaran. In Indonesia, Idul Fitri is a momentum for returning home, particularly known as mudik. It is the activity of migrant workers to return to their hometown. Mudik or homecoming tradition, where people gather with family and congratulate each other on Idul Fitri, is irrepressible, taught with the parity of increasingly sophisticated communication tools. Long before the festive day arrives, people are willing to queue, to jostle, and to get jammed in order to carry out tradition to go home and gather with family during Idul Fitri. It feels there is something missing when Idul Fitri is celebrated without going back to one's hometown. During 1970s, mudik had not been interpreted as returning to one's hometown. In fact, the homecoming have nothing to do with Idul Fitri or Lebaran. The phenomenon of homecoming linked to Idul Fitri occurred in mid-1970s when Jakarta apparently was the only major city in Indonesia with remarkable progress. For residents of other cities, Jakarta has become the city of dreams and become a magnet for other Indonesians who live in other regions. Perhaps there are some Muslims in Indonesia who think that mudik or homecoming has something to do with the teaching of Islam because it is associated with the month of Ramadan. They are much more enthusiastic in welcoming mudik rather than pursuing their word of fasting. Various kinds of preparation from energy, financial, vehicle and clothing to urban souvenirs are made, even coupled with prestige, the desire to show off and to color the style of homecoming. Sometimes it forces people to spend money unnecessarily even when into debt. In addition, there are many travelers who disregard the safety of themselves and their families for the sake of modic. Take, for example, by using vehicle that is not feasible for long trips or that exceeds the capacity. So, the accident rate during homecoming season increases from year to year. Lebaran tradition is indeed a very good thing to glue the ties among family members, especially when there is no chance except on Idul Fitri to stay in touch and to clear less harmonious relationship. But let homecoming be done in a way that is not excessive and adjust with one's ability and safety. Happy listener, here happy Idul Fitri. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again, Pierre Manarapana, in our regular program Today in History of Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. While we start an event on 4th July 1927, when the Indonesian National Party was established. The Indonesian National Party is the name used by several political parties in Indonesia from 1927 until the present day. On July 4, 1927, Sukarno Ayant, engineer at the time and a member of Bandung Study Club, formed a movement called the Indonesian National Association. In May 1928, the name was changed to the Indonesian National Party, or PNI. The organization's aim was economic and political independence for Indonesian archipelago. This would be achieved by non-cooperation with the Dutch colonial regime. By the end of 1929, the organization had 10,000 members. This alarmed the authorities, and Sukarno and seven party leaders were arrested in December 1929. They were put on a trial for being a threat to the public order, and in September 1930, received sentences of 1 to 3 years. Sukarno received the longest sentence. In 1955, the party won the largest share of votes in the first Indonesian general election. In 1973, the PNI, along with other rationalist and Christian parties, was merged into the Indonesian Democratic Party in order to limit the number of political parties and to weaken the opposition to the regime. In 1999, the party was contested the 1999 legislative election as the Indonesian National Party Marhaenism. The next event was in 1943, when the Battle of Kursk was begun. The Battle of Kursk was a Second World War engagement between German and Soviet forces on the Eastern Front near Kursk in the Soviet Union during July and August 1943. The German offensive was codenamed Operation Citadel and led to one of the largest armor clashes in history, the Battle of Prokhorovka. The German offensive was countered by two Soviet counter-offensives, Operation Vodkovodets Rumiset and Operation Kutuzov. For the Germans, the battle was the final strategy offensive that they were able to launch on the Eastern Front. Their extensive loss of men and tanks ensured that the victorious Soviet Red Army enjoyed a strategic initiative for the remainder of the war. And the last event was in 1946, when the Philippines gained its independence. The Philippines, officially known as the Republic of the Philippines, is a sovereign island country in Southeast Asia situated in the western Pacific Ocean. It consists of about 7,641 islands that are categorized broadly under three main geographical divisions from north to south: Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. The capital city of the Philippines is Manila, and the most populous city is Quezon City, which part of Metro Manila. As the 19th century gave way to the 20th, there followed in quick succession in the Philippine Revolution, which spawned the short-lived West Philippine Republic, followed by the Bloody Philippines, American War of Conquest by U.S. military force. Aside from the period of Japanese occupation, the United States retained sovereignty over the island until after World War II. On July 4, 1946, representatives of the United States of America and Republic of the Philippines signed a treaty of general relations between the two governments.
The treaty provided for the recognition of the independence of the Republic of the Philippines as of July 4, 1946, and the relinquishment of American sovereignty over the Philippines Island. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is a Remote Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's theme is bamboo products, chips and coffee export to Senegal, South Korea and China. The Indonesian government continues to increase exports to foreign countries, among others, product export of small and medium enterprises and cooperative marketing service partners to a number of countries such as Senegal, South Korea, and China. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga, when officially sending off the products export in Jakarta, said this has shown that small and medium businesses are still resilient amid global weakening. As quoted from business.com, Minister Puspayoga asked export spirit, particularly among small and medium enterprises, to continue to be inflamed. According to him, the export is a form of government support through the distribution of business credit scheme for the export-oriented small and medium enterprises that will explore overseas markets. He said Marketing Services Agency of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises should be able to disseminate export-oriented business credit to their partners. This credit financing scheme is oriented to the exporter in order to boost foreign exchange. With a ceiling ranging from 5 billion rupiahs to 50 billion rupiahs, this scheme is aimed at small and medium enterprises which have moved up and need the expansion of export destinations. Related to product export of Marketing Service Agency of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Partners, Director of Marketing Services Agency of Small and Medium Enterprises and Cooperatives Sabadi Ahmad said, export at the end of June was the second, while the first had been in the early June. According to him, Marketing Services Agency of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises facilitates products that can be exported and connects with buyers and exhibitions overseas for promotions. The realization of the export of these products shows the effort is already starting to bear fruit. Products that have been connected by the Marketing Service Agency of Small and Medium Enterprises and Cooperatives are bamboo furniture to Senegal, fruit chips to South Korea, and Arabica coffee to China. Meanwhile, Bank Indonesia is ready to perform a variety of efforts so that the export target could be met. Head of Bank Indonesia Central Java Regional Office Iskandar Simorangkir said, as quoted from Antara, that to achieve that need a good synergy among stakeholders so that small and medium enterprises can grow and become international entrepreneurs. Iskandar Simorangkir explained, to support the export of small and medium enterprises in Central Java, the government's active role in an integrated manner is necessary, ranging from upstream to downstream aspects. That was Focus Today on bamboo products, chips, and coffee export. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian government is planning to revise a number of laws relating to taxation after the approval of tax amnesty law. President Joko Widodo remarked that the tax amnesty would be followed with a complete revision on the law of general appropriation tax, the value added tax, as well as the income tax. During an inspection of the fuel supply at Jakarta Group Fuel Terminal, North Jakarta on Sunday, Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said has assured that fuel supply is safe ahead of Idul Fitri holiday. An orangutan rehabilitation center in Ketapang, West Kalimantan, released three orangutans into their natural habitat at the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park, which is part of the Heart of Borneo, a conservation area located on the border of West and Central Kalimantan. Indonesian toll road regulator BPJT released beta version of an Android application called Tolkita, which can monitor toll road condition in real time. Using Global Positioning System or GPS, users can use the application to find out where the toll gates are located, view CCTV streaming of some toll road sections, find rest area facilities, and report traffic accidents. Jakarta administration is considering charging newcomers to the capital a security deposit, as was once made compulsory by Ali Sadikin, Jakarta legendary governor in the 1970s. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to one of menus of Iftar in Aceh. Stay tuned. Listeners, every region has typical food which rouses appetite, such as Aceh province, which is well known on its ingredients. One of them is rumbi sago porridge, which becomes iftar food in Aceh. Rumbi sago porridge is like porridge in general. The difference is its ingredients which is used and processed. Listeners, the main material in making rumbi porridge is rice, chicken meat, shrimp, bone and cow meat, while its ingredient consists of cinnamon bark, Indian lawang flour, coriander, sweet cumin, ginger, nutmeg, clove, cardamom, and the other like red onion, garlic and scallions. The ingredients are not directly put into the porridge, but they are wrapped in thin cloths to reduce the amount of the ingredients which are mixed in the porridge. The making process of rumbi porridge takes around 2 hours, beginning from rice which is fried without vegetable oil until yellow color and then pounded a bit raw. Rice is boiled with shredded chicken meat, shrimp, which has been cut and also bone of cow. The ingredients which have been wrapped are put into the porridge and added with enough salt. After being cooked, the porridge will be served with shredded chicken meat and fried red onion. Listeners, during Ramadan, rumbi porridge, which is rich of nutrition, is served free of charge at almost every mosque. This is in line with the meaning of sharing in Ramadan. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Rumbi Sago Porridge from Aceh. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invite you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Persiapan Hari Raya Lebaran, which in English means preparing for Lebaran holiday. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Persiapan. Persiapan, which means preparation. Hari Raya Lebaran. Hari Raya Lebaran, which means Lebaran holiday. Kurang. Kurang, which means less. Tiga hari. Tiga hari, which means 3 days. Beres. Beres, which means ready. Sebagian besar. Sebagian besar, which means most. Tunjangan hari raya. Tunjangan hari raya, which means holiday allowance. Pekerja rumah tangga. Pekerja rumah tangga, which means servant. Dibagikan. Dibagikan, which means to be distributed. Kue-kue. Kue-kue, which means cookies. Diberikan. Diberikan, which means to be given. Pesan. Pesan, which means message. Hidangan. Hidangan, which means dish. Piring. Piring, which means plate. Gelas. Gelas, which means glass. Siap. Siap, which means be ready. Tirai. Tirai, which means cotton. Spray. Spray, which means bed linen. Mencuci. Mencuci, which means to wash. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Memperbaiki. Memperbaiki, which means to repair. Mobil.
mobil, which means car. Ganti oli. Ganti oli, which means to change lubricant. Periksa ban. Periksa ban, which means to check the tire. Bengkel. Bengkel, which means carriage. Well, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Persiapan Hari Raya Lebaran, or in English means preparing for Lebaran holiday. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Nita at the office. A. Mary, Hari Raya Lebaran kurang 3 hari lagi. Hari Raya Lebaran kurang 3 hari lagi, which means the Lebaran holiday is last 3 days. Apakah persiapan Lebaran kamu sudah beres? Apakah persiapan Lebaran kamu sudah beres? Which means, have you finished to prepare for Lebaran? B. Nita, sebagian besar sudah beres. Sebagian besar sudah beres. Which means, most of preparations are already finished. A. Mary, apa saja persiapan kamu? Apa saja persiapan kamu? Which means, what are your preparations? B. Nita, tunjangan hari raya untuk pekerja rumah tangga sudah dibagikan. Tunjangan hari raya untuk pekerja rumah tangga sudah dibagikan. Which means, the holiday tips for servants have been given. Kue-kue juga sudah saya berikan. Kue-kue juga saya sudah berikan, which means I also gave cookies for them. Saya juga sudah memesan kue-kue lebaran dan hidangan lebaran. Saya juga sudah memesan kue-kue lebaran dan hidangan lebaran, which means I have ordered cookies and some dishes for lebaran. Piring dan gelas sudah disiapkan. Piring dan gelas sudah disiapkan, which means plates and glasses have also been prepared. Tirai dan spray, semua sudah dicuci. Tirai dan spray, semua sudah dicuci, which means curtains and bed linens have already been washed. A. Mary, besok sebaiknya kamu juga membawa mobil kamu ke bengkel. Besok sebaiknya kamu juga membawa mobil kamu ke bengkel, which means you are better to tune up your car to the garage. Jangan lupa ganti oli dan periksa bannya. Jangan lupa ganti oli dan periksa bannya, which means do not forget to change lubricant and check the tires. B. Nita, oh ya, terima kasih, kamu telah mengingatkan saya. Oh ya, terima kasih, kamu telah mengingatkan saya. Which means, okay, thank you to remind me. A. Mary, baiklah, besok kita sama-sama ke bengkel. Baiklah, besok kita sama-sama ke bengkel. Which means, alright, we'll go to the garage tomorrow. Saya juga mau memperbaiki mobil saya. Saya juga mau memperbaiki mobil saya. Which means, I also want to repair my car. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Berlian Hutauruk. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Dirimu Satu. Happy listening. Listener, you just listened to the song entitled Dirimu Satu by Berlian Hutauruk. Berlian Hutauruk was born in October the 1st, 1957, a soprano voice singer which was very popular with Badai Pasti Berlalu album in 1977. Berlian did not expect if the album of Badai Pasti Berlalu can be long-lasting album in Indonesia, and make the name of Berlian Hutauruk's name soar up. Earlier, Berlian Hutauruk became the second winner of the Jakarta Pop Singer Festival in 1975, one level below Margie Sagers, who won the first winner, and one level above Melky Guslow was the third champion. At the National Pop Singer Festival 1975, she has ranked fourth under Melky Guslow, or the first prize, Margie Sagers the second prize, and Eddie Silitonga the third place. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Badai Pasti Berlalu by Berlian Hutauruk. Happy listening. In addition to success in the Indonesian music world, Berlian Hutauruk's songs also penetrated the big screen and become the soundtrack and the title of Indonesian film at that time, namely Badai Pasti Berlalu. Listener, Eros Jarot has the right choice. Berlian's nice voice wrapped with totality of expression while singing is able to vibrate anyone who listen and enjoy the song she presented. Then, the next album of Berlian Hutauruk has been released featuring a melodious voice singer, Krisha, which become long-lasting album in the country. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hayalku and Kau, Dia, dan Aku by Berlian Hutauruk. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sangka
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Walau terbuat dari emas dan permata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.